The ATF just took another loss in court, and it's great. Let's start this way. If you think the ATF is a hot pile of steaming garbage and needs to be abolished, then smash that like and subscribe button down below to stay in the know on Second Amendment news. This is another case surrounding the pistol brace ban. Remember, there are a bunch of cases filed all over the country, and we've already had a vacatur, depending on how you want to pronounce it, where the rule was called unconstitutional, an overstep of the ATF's authoritative ability. Well, they took another L today, and this was the case in the 8th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, and this was FRAC's case, the Firearms Regulatory Accountability Coalition. And there's a whole bunch of states that joined them. I'm going to show you just a couple quick things here because we already know most of what we need to know on this case, so there's no need to rehash it. But before I jump into it, I want to thank the sponsor of the video, and that's Hidden Hybrid Holsters. They're patriots that make these extremely comfortable holsters by hand every day right over the hill in Ohio. They use locally sourced Amish leather backers. They are very soft against your body, make it very, very comfortable. The Kydex up front gives you great retention, correct trigger coverage, and a proper sight channel. They have a lifetime warranty, and you're going to love them. If you love to carry and want to do it comfortably, head over to HiddenHybridHolsters.com and tell them that I sent you. Love their stuff. I have, I don't know, 4 or 5 of them now. And I'll actually be heading up to see them in a couple weeks, so that should be interesting. On screen here is just page 1 of the lawsuit. I want you to see everybody involved in this. You have FRAC, like I said, the Firearms Regulatory Accountability Coalition, the states of West Virginia, North Dakota, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, Wyoming, NST Global LLC, doing business as SB Tactical, BNT USA, and Richard Cicero. Against the clowns, Merrick Garland, who's the Attorney General, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and Stephen Dettelbach, who is their director. Just the quick history. Alex Bosco started the company SB Tactical. He invented the pistol brace, had ATF look at it. They said, nope, not an issue, doesn't violate the NFA. And several times the ATF has said adding a pistol brace to a firearm does not implicate the NFA at all. And it was like that for a very long time, even through the Obama administration. But then they got a hair across their booty, the ATF did, and they figured, you know what, we're going to try this Chevron deference thing and see if we can pass another law. I mean rule, because we can't pass law, but it'll have the teeth of a law because you'll be found criminally responsible if you violate this stuff. So a lot of people sue. There were a lot of cases. And FRAC, I think there's one other case after this, but we've heard from every other case. FRAC, originally they lost at the district court level. Loss. They weren't given a preliminary injunction is the right way to say it. It wasn't a loss. But they were seeking a preliminary injunction, and the district court said, nope, we're not going to do that. So they appealed to the 3-judge panel in the 8th, who only looks at why the court denied the preliminary injunction. Okay, they're not looking at the totality of everything. They're not looking, this isn't a decision on the merits. This is just looking at why it was denied the preliminary injunction that was requested. So I'm going to show you a couple quick things that the judges said, and go home. The big thing they looked at was that it's a final agency action, and it was not a logical outgrowth from the proposed rule. We all know that. There wasn't that worksheet that, if you had this, and it was this color, and it smelled this way, then it must equal an SBR. The judges looked at things that the ATF left in there that were very, very vague, like rear surface area suitable for shouldering, and they mentioned how there was no way for anybody to know what was going to be considered a stock or a pistol brace, because the ATF likes to operate in vague gray areas so they can catch everybody they can whenever they feel like it. So the judges kind of hit back on that. They also hit back on some of the things that the ATF, they're just asses. If you remember when this rule was put through, there were things like, depending on how it was marketed, would determine if it was an SBR or not. Or better yet, this was the funny one. How the market share, how the customers, the end users, how they used it would determine on whether it was an SBR from in the manufacturing. Just ridiculous, ridiculous. And what the judges saw here, it was a 2-1 decision. It was one ass clown in dissent. Look at this part here about the injunctive relief. It says, the district court declined to address the remaining injunctive factors, and we typically do not address other factors for the first time on appeal, for the district court is in the best position to evaluate all of the evidence and weigh the factors to determine whether the injunction should issue. Because we hold the coalition is likely to succeed on the merits, coalition is FRAC, it was abuse of discretion to deny an injunction based solely on that factor. We note that while this appeal was pending, the district court in the Northern District of Texas, per the Fifth Circuit's remand from Mock v. Garland, FPC's case, held the final rule violated the APA and ordered it be vacated. The Fifth Circuit consolidated that order with other appeals and scheduled oral arguments for September 2024. Though the district court's vacator and appeal thereof bear on the necessity of injunctive relief, an injunction may be warranted if vacator does not sufficiently redress the plaintiff's injury. The district court is best suited to determine to what extent injunctive relief remains necessary. So that's why the conclusion, he says, we reverse the order denying a preliminary injunction and remand with instructions to reconsider the motion for a preliminary injunction consistent with this opinion. And Circuit Judge Shepard dissented, but I don't care what he had to say. So it's going back to the district court in the 8th for the preliminary injunction. Fifth Circuit still vacated the rule. You still are covered if you're a member of all of the groups that have secured injunctions for their folks, GOA, SAF, FPC, I think NRA got one, and I think NAGR got one. So this rule is going down in flames, but it's going through the process. September is next month. That's when we have the hearings on the Mock v. Garland and the other consolidated cases. That's going to be the big one. So I will keep you in the know. You want to stay in the loop? All you got to do is subscribe to the channel right down below. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. And it just lets YouTube know that people actually care about the Second Amendment here on YouTube, regardless of how much YouTube wants to suppress it. Most of the people in the country care about their rights. So join this growing freedom family, and I appreciate y'all. I'll see y'all in the next one. Take care.